Hello, everybody. Mark Carlson here, SNEA Technical Council Chair. Welcome to the STC Podcast. Every week, the STC Podcast presents important technical topics to the developer community. Each episode is hand-selected by the SNEA Technical Council from the presentations at our annual Storage Developer Conference. The link to the slides is available in the show notes at snea.org/podcast. You are listening to STC Podcast Episode 49. Today we hear from Anjaneya Chagam, Principal Engineer, Intel, as he presents Time to Say Goodbye to Storage Management with Unified Namespace, Write Once, and Reuse Everywhere Paradigm from the 2016 Storage Developer Conference.
My name is Reddy Chagam. I'm the Principal Engineer and Chief SDS Architect in Intel, working in Data Center Group. So I'm going to cover today, most of my session is all about open source SDS controller efforts. So there is work going on behind the scenes with few storage vendors as well as big end customers. And I would like to highlight what exactly we are doing within the context of enabling the storage management in the industry. I won't be able to go over the details of, there are specific announcements that are actually going to come up in the next month or so. I won't be able to talk about those details, but I will give you a flavor for why are we doing this, what exactly are the problem areas that we are trying to address when it comes to storage management in the industry. Hopefully it gives you a flavor of the need behind the work that is going to happen towards the later part of this year. So I'm going to cover a bit on software-defined storage. What do I mean by software-defined storage? I'm going to take a couple of storage stacks. One is the OpenStack, the other one is Kubernetes, to give you a flavor of how the storage management is being done in the existing stacks. One gives you the virtualization layer, the other one is a container framework. So I wanted to give you a pulse on how storage management is being done in these two different stacks. Paint a picture of what exactly the problems that we are facing in general, both with the cloud computing as well as the virtualization management frameworks. Give a context behind what we are going to do with the OpenStack SDS, open source SDS controller, proposal. I'll talk a little bit on the next steps and, specifically call to action. So if you look at the software-defined storage, by the way, it's a small audience, so if you have questions, feel free to stop and ask. Looking at the software-defined storage, there are two broad elements. One is the, which you are probably familiar with quite a bit, which is at the bottom. Anything to do with the scale-up, which is the traditional SAN and NAS appliances, and scale-out, is one building block element when it comes to software-defined storage. Scale-out can be anything that you instantiate on the standard high-volume servers using open-source flavor like Ceph, Swift, or proprietary flavor like Scale.io, vSAN, Nutanix, Storage Spaces Direct, and so on. So an element of a scale-out, an element of a scale-up, essentially is considered as the storage systems deployed in a data center. But in order to manage those pieces that are actually deployed in a data center, you need something at the management plane. We call that as the software-defined storage controller. So what is the role of software-defined storage controller? So fundamentally, it needs to have visibility into all the storage resources deployed in a data center. It needs to provide a mechanism to provision storage resources to meet targeted SLAs. SLAs could be, I want X amount of capacity, I want X amount of latency, I want X number of IOPS, X amount of throughput. So anything and everything related to storage requirements, controller needs to be able to understand, be able to carve out those storage resources in an optimal fashion, and work with any orchestrator. So it doesn't have to be OpenStack only, it doesn't have to be CloudStack, it doesn't have to be Docker or Kubernetes, but it needs to be able to work with any orchestration framework out there. So that's kind of the notion of what I mean by software-defined storage. So two different elements, control plane, managed by software-defined storage controller, managing all the the storage resources. But once it carves out a resource, you will use the standard data plane protocols, NFS, iSCSI, ICER, NVMe or Fabric, anything and everything related to block, file, protocols, or maybe even future key value protocols as well, right? So we are not talking about changing anything in the data plane. The data plane will continue to stay as is. It is only the control plane where how do you manage the storage resources, how do you have visibility of the storage resources in a data center, and how do you allocate the storage resources in a much more optimal way. Okay, go ahead.
Does it also include the DAS environment?
Does it also work in DAS environment? DAS is a direct attached storage, that's what you mean by?
Server.
Yeah. Server-based storage, you mean? Yeah. So it should. There is an element of standardization that is going on with the Swordfish and Redfish, if you know the standards activities, under the SNIA plus DMTF umbrella. So the goal is to figure out, so today if you look at most of the storage management, it is all focusing on network attached storage, scale up or scale out, but the goal is to actually rope in anything that happens on a compute node, local storage as well as the fabrics and targets. So we have to include those elements as well. Today it is mostly, there is a scale out storage and there is a scale up, I'm going to write a driver, I'm going to consume it. Everything else is done in its own fashion in each and every orchestration storage layers, right? But the intent is to bring in those elements as well.
We talked about single thing to manage this storage different characteristics on the storage.
Yeah.
Then we have challenges where you have storage devices attached to servers, then you have SAN, NAS,
exactly. Yeah. So broadly classifying, the way I look at it is there is a storage that is sitting in a compute node that is purely servicing the compute elements like virtual machines or containers. And then you have targets, iSCSI targets and VMware or Fabrics based targets that are really needed as part of the provisioning flows as well as allocating the storage resources. Then you have scale out. You know, some sort of a service that is deployed on a standard high volume server pool, like Ceph and Swift, and then you have scale up. So we should be able to manage all those pieces. They're all considered as the storage resources, but depending on your orchestration stack, your mileage will vary, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's look at the click down of what are the major functions that you typically would like to see in the storage controller when it comes to control plane operation. So the way I look at it is you need to be able to manage the storage resources from the beginning of procuring your storage systems and deploying in a data center all the way to retiring your storage resources in a data center. So that's the way I look at it, and there are different functional building blocks that happen for you to actually start consuming the storage resources in a data center. When I say consuming, create volumes, create shares, attach volumes, attach shares, so that the compute side of the the orchestration can take advantage of storage resources. So typically you start off with provisioning. Normally what happens is if you have a pre-configured appliance, provisioning is going to be fairly lightweight, other than maybe configuring ACLs and all that stuff, and then connecting the network fabric to the compute cluster. If it is a scale out, obviously you have to deploy the operating system, you have to deploy the specific software, you have to have all the pieces before you can start consuming them. So there is a little bit of heavy effort involved when it comes to deploying the server-based storage scale out stacks, all the way from operating system deployment and provisioning on top of it. Once you provision the storage resources and connect the storage storage systems in a data center, you need to be able to discover. There are lots of ways to discover, but most of the discovery happens to be you log into the storage appliance and figure out what exactly it has. Depending on what vendor you're talking about, they may have a more integrated way of discovering the storage resources, but in general, it's not very well integrated and thought out, you know, phase. And then you need to be able to take the storage resources and group them, you know, essentially group them into certain logical buckets so that you can manage them together. So you may have a pool that is performance-oriented pool, you may have a throughput-optimized pool, you may have a capacity-oriented pool. You need to be able to group them, but you can't group them unless you know exactly what the backends are capable of. right? So there is an element of composing them into certain logical pools, and then start consuming them, which is essentially creating the, you know, blocks and file shares and buckets, creating objects and so on, which predominantly happens to be most of the focus in the orchestration stacks. So if you look at most of the orchestration stacks, they assume that these three building blocks are already taken care of. So you normally don't see these orchestration stacks paying attention to those three building blocks, mostly start consuming them with the assumption that they're already plugged in, they're already connected to the compute nodes, everything is working fine, you start consuming them. The later part is obviously once you start creating the volumes and shares, how do you maintain and monitor, which is a critical component as well. So I'm asking for 10,000 IOPS. Am I really getting 10,000 IOPS? If you look at AWS, for example, provisioned IOPS, you are essentially looking at, I asked for X number of provisioned IOPS. Am I really getting that? The visibility of what I asked for, what I am getting, is, you know, somewhat challenging depending on what tools you have and what framework you are dealing with. And then obviously retiring. So the key part of retiring is you need to be able to migrate the data out of the system that you want to retire. So there needs to be a mechanism to automatically migrate the data, which depending on your storage backend, sometimes you may have that mechanism, sometimes you may not. And it doesn't normally work with cross-vendor storage backends. Works probably seamlessly within the same vendor SKUs, but when you look at the cross-vendor technologies, data migration is fairly challenging. So the pieces at the bottom, most of the challenges are scale, and HA has been fairly problematic. If you look at OpenStack, Cinder and Manila, a lot of focus in ensuring that the tools can actually scale, and there is a high availability configuration baked in to deploy for a large pool of machines and manage them. The discovery and classification is the piece that is really missing. The third element is the policy-based orchestration. So if I have a policy on quality of service, things like IOPS, latency, and so on, how do I abstract it and convey that all the way down to the lowest level so it can be intelligent about how to carve out the resources? Multi-system orchestration. So if you have multiple SAN backends, how do you manage them together as one entity? Has been fairly challenging with most of the backends. And then automating the data migration piece. So lots of tools in this space, mostly vendor specific. This is largely ignored. Lot of focus when it comes to orchestration stack in this area. Lots of tools that are Chef, Puppet, there are Nagios, there are lots of tools out there you can take advantage of. But the goal is to kind of bring in the visibility of how is my volume behaving, how is my share behaving from a performance latency perspective at a data center level, can you give that visibility, right? So that's kind of the key thing. Yeah.
You said lots of tools, but what about EOL for tooling? Migration in that area?
Migration, again, there are certain basic, so the question is, are there lots of tools in terms of migration? There are tools, if you look at vendor specific, let's say EMC has its own set of tools to migrate from EMC equipment to EMC equipment, so is NetApp, Huawei, Hitachi, and so on, and IBM, of course. There are a couple of vendors, proprietary vendors, who can actually do cross-vendor migration. There are some brute force implementations from open source perspective where they look at a volume A and volume B. It's plain vanilla, offline, export, import kind of a scenario. Mm-hmm. But it's an offline migration, not really real-time inline migration. So it depends on whether you're looking for a very sophisticated inline migration. Mm-hmm. You're mostly better off by taking the commercial tools. If it is a very simple offline migration, there are lots of tools out there, but you have to do a lot of hand stitching mm-hmm. to be able to get that done. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah. Still an area that's still very much in growth.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so I'm going to take a look at a couple of orchestration stacks. Hopefully, it will give you a flavor of how it is being done today, storage management. One from virtualization management perspective, the other one is container management. So OpenStack is very popular for managing, you know, deploying clouds that takes care of compute, network, and storage. So you get all those three pieces when you look at OpenStack. And somewhat similar to what you look for in the AWS type of an implementation for private clouds. The top, Nova, is the virtual machine management stack in OpenStack. And then Horizon is the dashboard. When it comes to storage, we have four different building blocks. Manila is meant for creating shares. Cinder is for the block, creating volumes and managing volumes for the multi-backend storage scale-up and scale-out systems. And then Glance is mainly meant for images. So if you have lots of virtual machine templates, it's a repository for managing those templates and creating those templates, snapshotting the existing volumes, converting them into templates, and so on. And then the last one is the object store. Swift is the object store, default object store for OpenStack. It's not really a control plane, right? It's an implementation. So Swift is an end-to-end implementation of a given object store. But there is also an API, Swift API, that other backends actually use as a mechanism to integrate into OpenStack much more seamlessly. So if you look at the flows, I kind of wanted to show one specific flow to give a flavor of how the storage being orchestrated. So Cinder has support for essentially for LVM, which is the local DAS use case, and then scale up. So lots of storage vendors have drivers underneath the Cinder. And then we have scale out driver plugins as well. Ceph kind of comes under the scale out driver plugin, RBD plugin. The initial step of it assumes that these things are actually deployed in a data center, configured and everything. And you, when you start configuring the Cinder, you essentially provide a mechanism of how to connect to these storage backends, and then it starts pulling certain statistics. You know, things like are the storage backends up and down? What is the state of storage backends? It also pulls in certain stats, things like the storage capacity and so on. It uses the Cinder uses that information as a mechanism to figure out what is the best place to place volumes when there is a request coming in. And I will explain the flow a little bit later. If you look at the number one, either you can actually do this from command line or from UI, you are essentially creating a volume. And when you're creating a volume, you're not specifying, I want to create a volume on EMC equipment or scale out Ceph. You are essentially saying, I want to create a volume. Here is the size, and you can have different properties attached to it, including logical pools. Things like, I want to create a volume in the performance pool. Performance pool may have three different backends, and it will go figure out what's the best way to pick one of them and create a volume in that backend. So, but when you start creating a volume, you're not really specifying any backend, any specific instance. Cinder actually deeply buries that abstraction, and it figures out what's the best way to pick the right storage system and create a volume. The volume creation, once it goes through the Cinder layer, it essentially figures out the best possible candidate and connects to the storage backend using a driver to create a volume on that storage backend. And once that is created, the next step is you want to either use that volume as a way to boot it or attach it to the existing virtual machine instance. So you normally issue boot or attach volume, which is the step number three. Nova is the one that starts looking at volume properties. It connects to Cinder and say, give me the volume properties for this volume ID. That will have information about the storage backend and maybe the security credentials on how to connect it, what type of protocol it is exposing. All the details associated with that volume actually are provided by Cinder into Nova. It can also pull the virtual machine template information from Glance and use that as a way to boot virtual machine. So step number four essentially gives you where is the volume located, what's the boot instance that I need to be using to start up a virtual machine. And then it uses the libboard, which is essentially a control plane layer for QMU, KVM, virtual machine instantiation to really create the right set of virtual machine parameters and start the virtual machine. So that's kind of the flow on what you see in it when it comes to OpenStack, creating the volumes, attaching the volumes, and starting the virtual machines. But the key property that you see is that Cinder is essentially giving you that layer of abstraction so that you don't know which storage backend it is actually selecting. There is a scheduling component in the Cinder. You can write your own scheduler. You can schedule it such a way that you are filtering based on maybe specific region, you're filtering based on certain performance properties. Default scheduler is fairly primitive. It looks at all the storage backends and it figures out the first storage backend that has the most amount of capacity and creates, picks that as a candidate for creating a volume. But you can plug in your own scheduler that is a lot more sophisticated and do very intelligent things around it. So that's the kind of the flow. There are lots of other projects in OpenStack, things like how do you manage your security. There is a keystone. The user credentials is keystone, and then there is a Barbican, which is the security key management. And then Cellometer is the one that where you normally provide telemetry information. And then Neutron is for the networking orchestration. So Neutron, Nova, Cinder, Manila, Glance, those are the five building block components that really provide the foundation for compute, network, and storage orchestration. Okay? So hopefully you got the gist of how the flow happens. The key thing is OpenStack in general, as if you are aware of OpenStack, where it is going, there are lots of production implementations, so the layers in this are being used in production. So there is a production level of maturity with these stacks, so that's a good thing. Lots of vendors writing drivers for Cinder and Manila. So you see lots of ecosystem out there, vendor ecosystem writing drivers, so you will find lots of driver support out there. Again, as I mentioned in the previous slides, obviously it doesn't have storage management that is completely baked in. It provides constructs on how to group storage resources, but you don't know, you need to have a visibility into what your storage resources are, what their properties are. You need to have a mechanism to logically group by yourself, manually or custom tools and whatever it is, and then create config files to Cinder to say, here is a performance pool, here is the capacity pool, here is the throughput optimized pool. So you have to hand stitch the configuration before Cinder actually is aware of, oh, here are the storage resources and here are the logical groupings and here is how I consume the resources, is something that you have to do a little bit manual. The scheduling and monitoring is still evolving, specifically monitoring area, lots of things happening, but it's still not at a place where you can actually get an end-to-end visibility of how the storage resources are and what their properties are. Okay, any questions on the OpenStack so far? Good. Okay. Yeah.
In Cinder, do we have any particular filter which really looks at this as well as characteristics?
Yes, the Cinder basic scheduler essentially uses the free space as the mechanism to pick the right backend. But there are a few different flavors of filters. There is an affinity filter. So you can say, I want to create this volume for this compute node, right? LVM needs an affinity filter because you don't want to create an LVM on a different node and your compute is on a different node, right? So there is an affinity filter. So there are a few other filters that you can potentially use. There is a mechanism to extend it as well, but the default implementations are fairly, I would say, primitive, in my opinion. Okay, any other questions on the OpenStack? Okay, so I'm going to cover a little bit on the container orchestration. How many of you heard about Kubernetes? Okay, cool, fantastic. Okay. So there are two types of servers in Kubernetes. One, obviously, you probably will guess it. Node is the place where you are really deploying containers. But for you to manage a pool of machines, Node can be your physical machine or a virtual machine, but for you to manage a pool of machines, you need a clustering software on top of it. So the master server has a list of services that essentially provide a way to manage a pool of servers. Things like, how do you deploy, how do you select specific pool of containers to deploy on a 1,000 node cluster, right? There is a mechanism to schedule. So the scheduler is the one that is essentially responsible for figuring out where is the right place to start your containers. Replication controller is the one that essentially gives you a property of there is a minimum and there is a maximum that you can actually set a pool. It is responsible to make sure that you have enough number of container instances running in a data center to get your job done. Things like load balancing, you have a front-end web server and you say I want 10, it will make sure that there are 10 front-end container instances managing the load, and if it goes down by two or so, replication service is the one that is responsible to bring them back up. So it may be because your node is down. You are asking for 10 instances, one node is down that has two instances running on it. It will make sure that it is starting those two on a separate node. So the whole mechanism of detecting the node state, failure, starting those instances, and make sure it is meeting your criteria of number of instances is the function of a replication controller. API server is essentially a place where you use that as a mechanism to connect to the entire cluster. How do you bring up the nodes? How do you offline the nodes? How do you add additional nodes? How do you deploy the service, Kubernetes services on nodes? You do all these things using the command line tool called kubectl that uses the API server. And you can also use the REST APIs if you really want and automate it that way too. So when you look at the node, Kubernetes has a concept called a pod. So pod is your basic set of abstraction for deploying the compute instances, which is essentially a pool of containers. So this is the bottommost abstraction for deployment. Pod can have one container or many containers. And the reason why they chose pod is it makes easier for managing a pool of containers from an administrative perspective, as well as things like how do you manage the policies from a networking as well as other pieces. It makes it a lot easier to manage if you have a collection of containers as opposed to managing each one as its own entity. So pod is a collection of containers, and there is an agent sitting on each and every node, which is called kubelet. Kubelet is essentially an entry point into a node to get anything and everything done. So it's an agent to do the, execute the operations on behalf of the master services. And proxy is essentially a network proxy. It gives you the network virtualization services that are needed on a node. Stitching nodes as well as master servers together, there is a foundation layer called HCD. This is essentially a key value distributed storage layer. It keeps up all the metadata that is needed beyond node failures, as well as ensuring that your master servers can scale and so on. And then there is a concept called persistent volume, so you can essentially attach persistent volumes. There are certain policies that you can define. There are three different policies that Kubernetes provides. One is the capacity, how much capacity you need for a given volume, recycle, and then the actual access policy. So access policy could be, I want only read-only volumes, I want read-write volumes, it is a private instance, it is a shared instance. And the recycle policy says, when you are done, do you want to actually recycle the data? Do you want to delete the volume and share? Or do you want to just leave it as is? So three different policies, and the policies are still evolving, right? So the key thing is, this is a growing community, specifically very good framework for container orchestration, sophisticated scheduling, lots of backing from wide variety of storage vendors as well as other big companies. The big thing is that the storage interfaces are still evolving. As I talked, there is a capacity-based as well as a little bit of access policy and how you want to recycle the data. But things like performance attributes, how do you explain them, how do you provision them, those things are still being worked out. And then most of the storage management is out of scope. It assumes that everything is provisioned and you're consuming them. So it ignores the fact that there is a provisioning part, there is a discovery part, there is a pooling part, there is a monitoring and maintenance. There is a little bit of monitoring and maintenance, but it is fairly basic, right? So you kind of get the theme from OpenStack and container orchestration is they're very good at provisioning the volumes and shares. Your scheduling may not be sophisticated, depending, your mileage will vary based on what orchestration stack you're picking. Every other area is completely ignored, okay? So there are lots of other open source flavors. If you look at Apache Mesos, it's essentially an application framework, so you can actually deploy big data, you can deploy infrastructure as a service, and they can coexist on the same data center infrastructure, so it has mechanism to up-level the abstraction to applications, and then you can use those APIs as a way to write your own application frameworks and deploy them in a data center, right? So Apache Mesos is very popular. Docker Swarm, mainly meant for native clustering for the Docker instances containers. Coverhead, I presented this with EMC last year, so this is another open source flavor, software-defined storage controller. CloudStack, very similar to OpenStack. It's an equivalent of OpenStack flavor. Eucalyptus, somewhat similar to OpenStack and CloudStack, but it is tilted towards more of AWS-friendly, integration-friendly orchestration. And there are several others like Giant, Open Nebula. There are a few others that are actually in the industry. So you can get a flavor for, there are lots of open source flavors out there. All of them are actually trying to figure out what's the best way to integrate storage resources. If you look at the flavor of first three, so there is Kubernetes, there is Docker, and there is Mesos. Virtually everyone has their own mechanism to integrate persistent volumes, which is essentially volumes coming from network attached storage. Depending on which orchestration you're picking, your integration touch points will vary. And there are drivers in each one of them. And then the EMC has something called Lib Storage and RexRay, and as well as the Flex Volume concept from Diamante. The concept is, hey, instead of me writing a driver, I will give you an abstraction layer, so you write to my abstraction, I'll make sure that everything plugs into container frameworks, whether it is Kubernetes, whether it is Mesos, whether it is Docker, I'll be able to make sure they plug in very seamlessly. So that's kind of the concept of what you see with the EMC and Flex Volume thing. A framework that lets you write drivers so you don't have to worry about which one you are plugging underneath. And then the last one is the open storage one. This is mostly revolving around how do you have the API abstraction that both for the front, the northbound APIs as well as southbound APIs as a mechanism to write drivers seamlessly has been the approach from a standards specification perspective, not standards, but rather specification and reference implementation perspective. So the last four are mainly revolving around, I want to create an abstraction, you can write a driver based on my abstraction, I will make sure it integrates seamlessly with all the other orchestration stacks. Mostly focusing on cloud native computing frameworks, which are in the first three buckets, right? Okay, so what is the problem with this? So if you piece all the things together, so if you look at all the containers as well as the OpenStack frameworks, this is just a sample of four, but when you add both proprietary as well as the other open source flavors, you can actually see the magnitude of the problem. So what is the problem here? If you look at from tops down, it is very important for us to look at from a storage perspective. Can I attach storage that is sitting on a compute, which is called DAS? Can I actually do that for the iSCSI targets as well as NVMe or Fabrics targets? Can I actually allocate storage resources that are somewhat compatible with network attached storage as well? Scale up or scale out. So there is no parity between these three different types of instantiation, DAS, iSCSI, VMware or Fabric target implementations, and scale up and scale out storage solutions. You see that there's not a whole lot of commonality when it comes to implementing those things. So the goal is to figure out what's the best way to do that. Rather than having every vendor, every abstraction out there trying to position themselves as, hey, I have my own abstraction, why don't you write a driver underneath it? Our goal is there a way to create a common abstraction that everyone can participate and influence as opposed to every vendor trying to drive this in a different direction, right? And the last thing is, from a storage vendor's perspective, ideally, in an ideal situation, I want to be able to write a driver. As you know, writing a driver, certifying a driver is a nightmare. It takes significant amount of effort to make that happen. So storage vendors are looking at, can I write a driver test it thoroughly, and then from there onwards, it's an integration problem that I need to focus on, as opposed to really writing a driver for every backend and every orchestration. So storage vendor ecosystem pain point is write once, reuse it everywhere. Okay. So if I were to do this cleanly, what will it look like? The picture is beautiful, but you know, the challenge is going to be how do we enable this, right? So the way we are looking at it is we'll have OpenSDS orchestration. We are calling that as OpenSDS controller that will have plugins for all the orchestration stacks that includes traditional computing platforms like OpenStack, CloudStack, as well as the cloud native computing frameworks. Plus, our hope and prayer is that the proprietary flavors will also come in, you know, as a way to plug in VMware, Microsoft stacks as well. So that's essentially the top portion. But for us to do that, we really need to figure out what is the best way to abstract the storage resources. What is that, the basic set that we can actually use as a starting point? Is it a performance-oriented construct like IOPS, latency, throughput, space efficiency, data services, things like encryption, compression? So we are looking at a few different constructs and say, this is good enough. And that will be the level of abstraction for us to actually provision the storage resources. And we use that as a common integration mechanism with all these orchestration stacks. That's a goal. And then when it comes to integrating with the existing ones, our goal is not to really start everything from grounds up. Can we reuse the existing frameworks and then take advantage of their maturity and address the problems where they are not being addressed today? Things like automated discovery and pooling is something that nobody addressed it. So we are going to look at those pieces as opposed to, oh, let's do this whole thing from grounds up again. So reuse the existing open source building blocks that are mature as a starting point. That includes the driver. So if Cinder has made significant traction, we should be able to use a Cinder framework as well as the drivers as a starting point, as opposed to really writing from scratch. So the goal is to reuse as much as possible, address the critical pain points, and lay the foundation. And you know, at some point, we look for something common API here. There are a few elements that are actually happening in the Sportfish area. We'll be able to take advantage of enclosure management APIs, as well as the NVMe over Fabrics target type of how do you discover them, how do you pull them, how do you abstract them. So the goal is to kind of integrate into the standards bodies and make sure that is happening very seamlessly. So that's essentially the focus. So how do we simplify the integration of storage management? How do we reuse the existing storage blocks, and address the real pain points? Okay. I kind of summarized this one in the previous slide. Focus on the real world, end customer pain points. I think the ones that I really talked about is scale and HA is very painful for me. We need to make sure that is taken care. That has been one of the top end user pain points. A way to discover and pool the storage resources has been the second most activity. Automated data migration has been one of those critical components where I need to be able to retire the systems, but I have data, I need to be able to migrate it. Can I do that without actually going through this expensive storage layer that I need to buy, and it has lots of limitations. It works with certain vendors and certain combinations and all that stuff. So focus on the real pain points. Ensure that we are focusing on the real pain points that are seemed as priority from a customer side. Look at integrating with the broader orchestration ecosystem, virtualization backends, as well as the container frameworks. Reuse the open source building blocks wherever it makes sense. And then the goal, last one is very important. We really want to be able to make sure that the whole community is coming around. The storage ecosystem needs to feel the pain and they need to be part of this, as opposed to they not being part of it. So that's an important element. Standards bodies, I talked about Sportfish, is one of the critical elements in here. CDMI could play a very critical role too. And then obviously the big service providers need to be part of it to be able to influence what is really useful compared to developers coming in and doing the work. So we are looking at essentially a vibrant ecosystem that has a mix of storage vendors, standards bodies, as well as end customers to be able to influence the storage management problem in a broader way. So there are discussions going on, and our goal is to announce this sometime this year. I can't, because of all the NDA discussions that are going on, I can't really reveal who those companies are, when it is going to be announced, all that stuff, but it's coming up this year, pretty soon. Hopefully next month, but sometime this year. You will see that there is an open SDS controller effort. Starting under some sort of foundation, it could be OpenStack or it could be CNCF, which is a cloud native computing framework, or Linux Foundation, one of those three. But in general, it's a broader ecosystem coming together to solve this problem. Really looking forward to you guys actually looking at this effort and see what makes sense from a contribution perspective. Would love to have you join this effort as well. Okay. So that's my last slide. Have time for Q&A. So let me know if this makes sense. Are we solving the right problem? Is this the right thing to do for the industry? Give us feedback. Questions?
Do we have any examples where we have kind of experimented all this,
that it
really going to work or not?
Yeah, so we have, there is a prototyping effort that has been done by Intel, and there are a few companies. So we were doing essentially how do you discover and how do you pool. Obviously, the discovery component is, you know, it's because there is a lack of uniform discovery protocol, you will have to have a driver mechanism. So we quickly settled on the need for drivers. If someone wants to discover their storage backends or scale-out systems, they need to have a driver to discover, right? So we settled on the need for a driver-based discovery mechanism as opposed to let's go solve that interface problem, right? There is also some work that is going on. NetApp has been doing quite a bit of this stuff, and they talked about this in SNIA 2 years ago or so. They are looking at SLO-based constructs. So they are looking at what's the best way to create that normalized storage abstraction from an orchestration layer perspective. Dimension, things like performance, data services. Performance could be, you know, how many IOPS do I need for this volume? Data services could be, do I need compression? Do I need addressed encryption? What should be my encryption management, you know, story around it? So they have actually created a nice set of abstraction, and we are looking at some of that. There is also a little bit of CDMI spec that has very good set of abstraction, but it is meant for, you know, essentially object-based backends and all that stuff, but we could beg and borrow from the existing standard elements as well to see what is the best way to start with. So there is some prototyping effort going on. There are a couple of other companies doing some work in the, as I showed, EMC has done some standardization for the CNC, Kubernetes and Mesos using LibStorage and RexRay. So they have done some work. So there are working examples there. So the goal is kind of how do we take all these elements that are happening discreetly, come together in a common way, do this in an open source community to really address the storage management in one place as opposed to addressing the storage management in OpenStack, CloudStack, Kubernetes, Mesos, Docker, Swarm, you name it, right? Plus proprietary stacks. So that's kind of the theme. So yeah, there are a few prototyping efforts that are actually in flight. We looked at the right design in points for doing this effort. Lots of waiting around behind the scenes to figure out whether we want to do something from scratch. Yeah, it looks very sexy when you go and look at write this in Go. You can actually attract lots of developer community out there and say, hey, this is the open source SDS controller. We are going to write in Go language. You will attract reasonable amount of developer community to come in and pile on and do this work. But the goal is, you know, storage management is a very hard and painful problem. There is a reason why these companies haven't come together in the past to do this. So we talked quite a bit and say the best starting point is what's been done out there. OpenStack, Cinder, and Manila has very nice foundation. There is a lot of vibrant driver vendor ecosystem out there. Why don't we start from there if you want to do something and then add on modules and then plug in everywhere? Has been one of the, you know, options that is being explored. So So I think in reality, there are lots of moving parts. How do we take advantage of those moving parts to really do this in one place as opposed to discrete places? And then focus on addressing the gaps. Okay. Any other questions? Good. All right. You get 15 minutes back. Is it 15 minutes or 6 minutes? One of those two. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions about the material presented in this podcast, be sure and join our developers mailing list by sending an email to developers-subscribe@snea.org. Here you can ask questions and discuss this topic further with your peers in the developer community. For additional information about the Storage Developer Conference, visit storagedeveloper.org.